Okay, you should have a Bible study called Answers. Brother Ken just gave us a testimony about a man in our church who was talking to an atheist who asked him why he should believe in God. And the man in our church said, because of Bible prophecy. So the man asked him, can you give me one? And he talked about Cyrus, and there's a lot of them. Cyrus is one of the more amazing ones. They're all amazing, but I'm glad he had an answer. Man, I'm glad he thought. The heart of the righteous studieth the answer. And I hope that man has helped. Now, before we get started, and we will have some sword drills. These might not be as exciting as some of the deeper things we studied, but we'll try to add a little life to these things. Some of these questions are going to be doctrinal. Some are going to be theological. Some are going to be on issues. Some are just going to be questions that are common when you're out witnessing. And some of them we hope will be inputs from you this year. Maybe you want to write out a question with your name and say, what's the answer to this question? Or if this comes up, what should I say? Question number one here. Now, on the top right, it says lesson one. Under answers, it says question one. Then on the other side, it should say question number two. So make sure you're on question number one. And this first question comes up often, especially among children. And it has come up to me. And I had to have an answer to it. And it was, where did God come from? You can't just sit there and stare back at the kid like you're an idiot. Because that's certainly not going to help them. Where did God come from? And we'll try to come to an answer on that I hope you can learn that answer and be ready to answer. But before we do, and before we get to these sword drills, we'll give you some bonus points. If you can say one single verse from the chart we went over Sunday morning in our memory verses, we will give you a point before we get started here. Who can think of what? Yeah, you're down in junior church, so you wouldn't know. Calvin and Rebecca are downstairs. We can understand that. How about I know we just started. I'm putting you on the spot here. How about January's verse up here, Proverbs? Well, you can't see it yet. We're still fixing the sign, but it's 15:23. Can anybody say that one from Sunday? Probably not. We only went over it once. Can anyone say any one of the 12 verses we went over? Well, let's see. Can you say it right? All right, that's the first one. That is the first one. Amen. Yeah. Is that 15, 20? Okay. A man, amen, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? All right, that is our January verse, yes. Proverbs 15:23. Anybody happen to know another one? Maybe not the reference, but how to quote it? Sean? Nope. Most of them have the word answer or answereth in it. All right. Can anyone think of another one? No? All right. How about the preparations? Anybody know the rest? Preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All right, Proverbs 16:1. Let your speech... Yeah, no. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You get them started, yeah. All right. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. You'll be appreciated if you, again, give some right answers. Well, we'll give the ladies one here. For a soft answer turneth away wrath, but... The grievous words stir up anger. All right, well, we're getting some of them. So let's work on those. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? That's going to be January's. And the theme verse, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. And so I got a feeling Mark, when he came back from the atheist convention, had some joy in his heart that he was able to answer that one atheist and make him think. All right, so do you want joy? Let's learn some answers. All right, well, let's go to tonight's Bible study. And we have two questions tonight. We'll try to do two each week, but we'll see. And we can, most of the verses are already printed out for you, but we'll have some sword drills down in the bottom further notes section. Question number one is, where did God come from? I can remember a girl standing right there asking me that question. She's about 8 years old. And she came directly up to me after church, and that was, she just blurted out, where did God come from? Where did God come from? And that is a good question that people struggle with, and we should have an answer for that. And, of course, we consult the Bible for our answers, and the Bible is an answer book. It's pretty neat. Our answer simply is God always was. Where did God come from? God always was. He's always existed. And let's look at some of the key verses that you'll want to know, especially the first one. This is the key verse in all the Bible on this subject. And it is Psalm 90 and verse 2. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, we don't have to necessarily understand everything to believe it if it is said, and we'll try to give an illustration for that. But here's a couple fill-in-the-blanks. God is from blank to blank. What do you fill that in? Everlasting. Everlasting. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Notice in Isaiah 57 and verse 15, it says this, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. We got the whole verse down there, but the first phrase is where we want to get a little bit of doctrine from. The first phrase of the verse says, for thus saith the high and lofty one, in other words, God himself is speaking, that inhabiteth eternity. That inhabiteth eternity. So a question, what does God inhabit? Eternity, all right? Eternity. Everlasting to everlasting, he inhabits eternity. And Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets, understood this truth and asked this question in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 12, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? All right? Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? And so here's a question. The prophet Habakkuk knew that God was from what? You see it? Are you watching? You're just looking at your page there? Okay, everlasting. The prophet Habakkuk knew that God was from everlasting, and the Holy Spirit led him to write that down. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? So what is everlasting? That's eternity past. So from eternity past to eternity future, thou art God. So God always was. Now that doesn't mean you can, that's the answer, but that doesn't mean you can understand the answer. All right, we're not going to be able to understand every answer, but we can believe it. Now, here's a little illustration about a different subject, and then I'll bring it back to this subject. Although we can approximate the edge of the universe, that is the stars and the planets and the galaxies and that, no one can say where space ends. In fact, if you look it up and Google it, pretty much most scientists that you Google, and there is no consensus among scientists on most things. They like to kid us and tell us, oh, this is settled science. No, it's not. Most things they debate as much as people debate politics and people debate religion. People debate a lot of things in science too. But most, if you Google this and research it, most scientists believe that space is infinite, that it never ends. It is considered to be infinite, having neither beginning or end. Infinity cannot be understood by the mind, and yet we still believe it. The eternality of God is the same, neither beginning nor ending, incomprehensible, yet it must be believed. All right, so space, where does it start? Where does it end? I mean, if you go east in a straight line, not around the earth, but east in a straight line through space, and if you get to a wall and it says, space ends here, what would your first question be? What's on the other side of this wall here? Right? And the same thing if you go west, however many billions and billions and billions of light years, and come to a sign out there that says, space ends here, a western border. So you would probably ask the question, well, what's on the other side of this fence here, or this wall, or this sign? And so it's mind-boggling to us. Right? It doesn't end. It just goes on and on and on and on and on, and we cannot understand infinity because our minds are finite. But yet we can believe that's true, even though we can't understand or explain it. And so sometimes maybe this illustration would help a little kid. I don't know if it would help him or confuse him, but that's an example of something that we consider to be infinite or maybe eternal or everlasting that we believe in. Why couldn't we believe that about God? Can I see you got your hand up? Yeah.
I almost think that, maybe I'm thinking wrong, but I almost think that...
There's some people believe Genesis 1:1 deals with time, space, and matter. In the beginning, that's time. God created, the heaven, that's space, and earth, that's matter. Right. No, we can't. we can't. But we're trying to explain to a kid here. When they ask you, where did God come from? This is an illustration that might help. We can say to them, you know, just like there's no end to space. It goes on forever and ever and ever that way. It goes on forever and ever that way. Or any way you want to go. And we believe that about space, even though we can't explain it. So with God, God is everlasting. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. But the best thing is to show them the verse of Scripture, let the Holy Spirit work on their heart, Psalm 90 and verse 2. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, there's some of these questions that you just have to believe it. You just have to believe it. You can't explain it. Can't explain. God never had a beginning. And like Ken said, we were puzzled by that because we think completely in time. All right. Well, is space infinite? Well, let's compare a couple of verses here. Maybe this is a biblical way to show that space is in fact infinite. If we compare these verses with each other, this is for you that really think. And sometimes when you think, it just generates more questions too, which isn't bad. Which isn't bad. But let's try to see if these two verses might show us in some way that space is in fact infinite. All right, so draw swords. And let's do Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Go. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9.
For my thoughts are not good.
I think Faith had it, yeah. Go ahead, Faith. Everybody look at it, though. Okay, if the heavens are space, and they're compared to God's ways and God's thoughts. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. All right, just think about that now. If the heavens are space, and they represent God's ways and God's thoughts, let's combine that now with another verse. Draw swords. Psalm 147, 5. Go.
Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite.
All right, his understanding is what? All right, and if his ways and his thoughts are compared to the heavens or space, then maybe space is infinite if you compare those two verses. All right, if you follow what I'm saying. So, just a thought. I'm not going to be dogmatic about that, but there's a couple of verses that maybe you put them together, and that would show that space is, in fact, infinite. I see Justin back there saying, boy, I can't wait to get out of this church. Yeah, explain it in pigeon over there. First thing you do. Hey, let me tell you what I just learned last week. All right. Well, maybe space is infinite. And but... go back to the top. Just remember this. If somebody asks you, where did God come from? The answer is simply, God always was. And this is, I think, my opinion, the best verse in the Bible that teaches on the eternality of God. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. All right? Remember Psalm 90, verse 2. We've got to have answers. And I've used that verse in several times where that question came up, including with that girl who stood right there after church about a year ago. And her grandma still comes. And I hope she'll come back sometime soon. But I gave her a Bible answer. I said, God always was and always will be. And that there's things we are not going to understand in our little finite minds. We must believe by faith. Well, let's go to our question number two on the back. And this is another question that certainly is argued by the cults and denied. And yet, what does the Scripture say? Our second question this year is, has Jesus always existed? Well, you can use a lot of verses to show that Jesus is God. All right? And so, that could be one way you could argue for it. Or I think there's a verse in the Bible that tells us yes. And but you got to compare some verses here. It doesn't jump right out and say Jesus Christ. But we know who it's talking about by other portions of Scripture. And that's the prophet Micah. The prophet Micah in chapter 5 and verse 2. I want you to notice what he says here in the key verse on the eternality of Jesus Christ. Has he always existed? Here is the prophecy. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that shall be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Well, we need to find out who this is, don't we? Who is that talking about now? Sean is going to look up for us Matthew chapter 2, and in a moment I'm going to ask you to read verses 3 through 6. But underneath the verse. We got a few blanks to fill in. The prophet Micah said this in about 710 B.C. That's 710 years before Christ. He recited this verse. Now, whoever Micah was talking about would be from of what? Old. Write that in there. And from what? Everlasting. He would come to earth through the town of what? Bethlehem, Ephratah. All right, why do you think the designation there? Okay, there's two different Bethlehems, all right? Now, I don't know if you got maps in the back of your Bible. You can't see mine, but I'm just going to show you something I did on my Bible map one time. You can't see this. But this is Canaan, divided into the 12 tribes in the Old Testament. And up here is the region called Zebulun. And I have circled, you can't see it, but I've circled the town of Bethlehem in Zebulun. Then down here is the region or the tribe of Judah, and I've circled the title Bethlehem, the city Bethlehem. So notice on this map, Bethlehem is here, Bethlehem is there. There's a Bethlehem Zebulun, and there's a Bethlehem Judah. Who can think of a city that is in two different states? Rochester, New York, and Rochester, Minnesota. What are some others? Portland, Maine, and Portland what? Oregon. All right, what else? Buffalo, New York, and? Okay, and there's one in Colorado. I think. Rochester? Yeah. Okay, you get the idea. And so the Bible specifically says Bethlehem Ephratah, which is in the region of Judah. And in fact, let's find out this Zebulun one. Let's have a sword drill. This verse really is not going to mean much to us, but draw swords. Joshua 19, 10 and 15. Go, Joshua 19, verses 10 and 15. This is when Joshua is dividing up the land now.
And the third lot came up for the children of Zebulun, according to their families, and the border of their inheritance was unto Sarri. And Kanah, and Nahalah, and Shimron, and Nahalah, and Bethlehem, 12 cities with their villages.
Okay, 12 cities in Zebulun, one of them's named Bethlehem, okay? When Joshua was dividing up the land, so we just had a little sword drill there. That was the reason for that. All right, now when you get to the New Testament, we just got through the Christmas season. I'm sure we preached on this. I'm sure one of our men read this, but we're going to read it again, and it's going to tell us who in the world Micah was talking about, because Micah is now quoted in the New Testament when Herod said he was looking for him that was born king of the Jews so that he could worship him. And so Sean's going to read for us Matthew chapter 2, verses 3 through 6.
When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.
All right, so in our explanation on your notes here, when Herod was looking for the Christ child, the prophet Micah was quoted to him by the chief priests and scribes as confirmation of where Christ would come into the world. Now, who was the fulfillment of that prophecy? Jesus Christ, okay? Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of this prophecy. Thus, what conclusion can we make? Jesus Christ is from what? Everlasting. Everlasting, because Micah said, Yet out of these shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So how long has Jesus Christ been around? Forever. Forever. He's just like El Olam, which is the Hebrew name. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. We find the same thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's from of old, from everlasting, which would strengthen the doctrine that Jesus Christ is in fact who? God. He's God. He's from everlasting. So cults believe God made him, that he had a beginning, and but the scripture says he is from everlasting. He always was. Again, you and I can't understand that, but we can show it from the scriptures, and we got to believe it. Now, here's another thing. Let's have a sword drill, and this is a little sword drill about this high priest named Melchizedek. And you can read about him, his story in Genesis 14, and then it's explained a little bit to us in Hebrews 7. Now, in the explanation of Hebrews 7, Melchizedek is compared to the Son of God. The Son of God, who is who? Jesus Christ. And we're going to see something. Let's listen for it now. Draw swords. Hebrews 7, verse 3. Go. Hebrews 7, 3. Okay, Melchizedek is always considered a type of Christ, and the verse that Sean just read described in this way, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. So, in your notes there, fill that in as having neither blank of days, nor blank of life. That should be having neither what? Beginning of days, nor end of life. All right. So there's a little type there, and I can't explain Melchizedek very well, but that is talking there about Christ having neither beginning of days, nor end of life. The eternal Son of God. All right. The Lord Jesus Christ. We'll go through a few more verses and be done tonight. Fred?
Do you think he could be Christ? Yeah.
Yeah, Christophany?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think, yes. Now, Christophany is an Old Testament appearing of Jesus Christ. And he's called Melchizedek because he is given the name King of Salem, which is King of Peace. And certainly Jesus is the King of Peace, Prince of Peace. We get that from other scriptures. I don't know. I do not know that. We can find that out easy, but I'm not sure. I think you might be right. All right. So, and then another way you can prove that Jesus always existed is by proving he is God, which we've already done. But here's three verses, and we'll have a sword drill or two with them in closing at the bottom. Let's draw swords, and this one will be John 1, 1 and 14. Go. John 1, 1 and 14. Renee had it. Huh. Renee.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Now, who is that obviously talking about there? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. All right? And dwelt among us, and listen to this now, and we beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right? So that's obviously talking about Jesus Christ. So that, this is just one example of many where you can take scriptures and prove Jesus was God. And then go back to our first question tonight. God is everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That's one. That's another way that you can do it. And this is why, of course, Ken, you probably know this. John 1:1 is a controversial verse. Some of the cults say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. And they thus promote pluralism, many gods. We believe there's one God. And He is the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, Ken? Right.
Okay. Now, I didn't know this, but they said that the vowels weren't in the original scripts. But that's with the Hebrew. The Greeks actually had the vowels. So when they tell you that, they're deceiving you.
Mm-hmm.
They did have the word K.
Yeah. Oh, my. That changes everything when you add that little word A. Let's do one more sword drill, and this is another one that shows us the deity of Christ, and thus, if He is God, He must be eternal. 1 John 5:7, draw swords. 1 John 5:7. Go, 1 John 5:7. All right, Zach, very good. There are three that bear record, the Father, the Word, capital W, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. These three are one. So the conclusion is that the Word has been around as long as God the Father, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word was God. So you can use that in some other verses to show the lordship of Jesus Christ, His deity, and thus He must be from everlasting. So Jesus always existed, and I know the more you think about that, you can't understand it, but this is where faith comes in, and just like infinity, nobody, no human can understand that, and yet we believe in it. All right. Well, that's about it for tonight. We'll go on with a couple more questions, and then if you've got any questions and want to write them down, sign your name and give them to me. I can try to find them out. I don't know if I'll be able to, but hope we're going to learn a lot of things. Doctrine, sometimes we'll get into issues, and sometimes just prophecy, things like that. And I think you'll learn a lot this year if you keep coming on Wednesdays. And plus, I'm going to deal with some questions and answers Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. I think it should be a good year. And we need to have answers. Again, anyone else can say the verse? Maybe you learned it. What is our theme verse for the year and for January? A man hath depression. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? All right, man hath joy. So this will be a source of joy to you, to be able to have answers. And I know it's always been a source of me to be stumped by a question sometimes for decades, and then somebody tells me the answer. I say, wow, I've wondered about that all my life. So, all right, when we close, if any of you want stickers on hymn books tonight, or if any of you want to carry stuff up from Christmas, if you got to go home, thanks for coming. We're going to close in prayer. And let's do that now. Father, we do thank You that You are from everlasting to everlasting. You've neither had beginning nor ending. We don't understand that, Lord, but Your Word declares it. We believe that about numbers, that they never end. They can always be infinite. We believe that about space. We should be able to believe that about you. And we thank you that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God also. And we worship you, Lord Jesus. And in the light of that, we know that time is a very, very brief thing to thee. It seems so long to us, but so short to thee. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. And thank you, Lord, that you've given us eternal life, everlasting life. And forever is a long time, and we'll be over the things we're going through in no time. And this all ends very well for us. So help us to set our affection on things above, not on the things on this earth. And give us your grace. Bless this year of instruction. We pray for more to come out as the weather clears. And feed us, Lord, this year, we pray, with knowledge and understanding. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.